With the 9th pick in the draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select running back from Florida, Fred Taylor.
Dolphins showing blitz now. There it comes. Now back to throw, turns and dumps it. It's Fred all alone. He's at the 30. He's at the 25. He's at the 20. On his feet, inside of the 15. There he goes to the 10. Fred's on his feet to the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Where did this guy come from? You can't explain that. You cannot color commentate that. You can't play-by-play that. You can't tell somebody what I just saw. Holy smokes!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Tony Smith and John Osher.
John Osher should be joining me here in a couple of minutes. I'm sure he's on his way here to the station. I'm pretty sure I made it clear to him we're at the station.
I think he's grabbing us breakfast, possibly.
Instead of the stadium today. Well, I got breakfast here that Prosser just slid across the table for. I even got, I can play the Monopoly game. I got a peel and play Monopoly game here.
I was thinking about this the other day, Tony. Has anyone you know ever won anything more than like a medium fry from McDonald's Monopoly? I've never seen anyone win.
No, but 1 in 4 win. That's at least what they tell me in the commercial, right? Is it 1 in 4?
One in 4 is the odds, but I've been to McDonald's about 8 times and never won anything.
Yeah, I think I won like a free McGriddle in this round. I think I've been to McDonald's once since they started.
I think the scam they're pulling is they have one piece out of each of the color sets that they just don't make.
they
keep making you go back and buy their product.
Is nobody like looking out for us as the consumer in this situation?
We're looking out for the consumers here on Jaguars Today.
We're trying. I'm not sure how well it's working out, but John Osher should be joining us here in just a couple minutes, and it'll be our last opportunity before the draft tomorrow night to talk to him about what he expects to see happen with the number 5 overall pick. I get it. There are a lot of people out there that are just done talking about it. They're done listening about it. I get it. A bunch of mock drafts. You're done with draft season. And for you, there is good news because the draft is tomorrow night. And after tomorrow night, we're not going to be talking about what they might do in the NFL draft. We'll be talking about what they have done in the NFL draft. And look, I jokingly mentioned Ezekiel Elliott there a moment ago as the pick that they could walk to the podium. And if they turned in that name, I think everyone would go, what?
Why not get Roberto Aguayo?
Well, Aguayo, you're right, Terrence. I forgot about Roberto Aguayo.
It's a possibility. Don't rule it out.
If they drafted Roberto Aguayo, I'm not sure Bradley and Caldwell would get out of the draft party. I'm not sure they would make it out of the party. And honestly, if you drafted Aguayo, I wouldn't even address the fans. Like, if it was me, I would just be like, haha, joke's on you, right? Like, that could be nothing but a long-running practical joke on the city of Jacksonville for the past 4 years. And it just all culminates in the pick of Roberto Aguayo at number 5 in the NFL draft. That's all it could possibly be if they actually made that pick. But Zeke Elliott would be the other one that you're going, what are they doing? I think there are names out there, though, that people that we have been talking about as realistic possibility to the Jags at 5 that I think people would be upset with. And that's kind of the question of the day that we have today, the Tom Bush fan feedback spotlight today. We're asking you Jaguars fans, what name that is a realistic possibility that has been a discussion for the Jags at number 5, what name could they call at 5 that would most upset you?
Please not Leonard Floyd.
That would most upset you. So, we've already got a bunch of responses in. The name that I thought would lead the way is leading the way. We'll get into some of the reaction to that as we go throughout the program today. Obviously going to talk a lot about the draft. We haven't had an opportunity to talk to John Osher about Miles Jack and that knee and the chondral defect and how that may affect the way the Jags are looking at it, if we even have more information on how that may affect the way the Jags are looking at it. But we'll ask John Osher about that. We'll ask him about drafting character concerns here in Jacksonville as well. With, I know a lot of fans out there really, really, really want Noah Spence, and how realistic a possibility is that type of player to come to Jacksonville? Obviously, everything else we do on a regular basis as well, the state and football history, Honda Drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey on his way up to Chicago for the National Football League draft tomorrow night. He'll be there throughout the weekend. We'll talk to him tomorrow live from Chicago and get kind of a feel for what's going on the ground out there. It's not like he's getting inside information while he's up there, but he does have the opportunity to give us a little bit of an idea of what's happening in Chicago, just the feel for it as the draft is there for the second year in a row. and just how different that feels from what it was when it was in New York for all those years and years and years. So we'll talk to Dempsey tomorrow. Until then, you got me, Jacksonville Fat Tony. John Osher joining me here in just a moment as we get rolling on a Wednesday edition of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, getting it rolling here on a Wednesday, a Metro Rooter Wednesday edition of Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey on his way to Chicago for the National Football League draft. Mercifully, on the eve of it now. It is tomorrow night, at least the first round. We'll get it over with tomorrow night. John Osher joining me in studio now. Johnny, what's going on, buddy?
It's here.
It's here.
It's upon us. And I heard you on the way over. It's such a long process. And, you know, I was going to say fans, but everybody around it overthinks it, thinks about it one way one day, another way the next. I heard you talking about the it's almost as if people are so tired of talking about Joey Bosa that that wouldn't be fun anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? That, yeah. Like, I've already opened that gift for Christmas. What's next, Mom? What's the next gift?
I want something shinier.
I've already played with the Joey Bosa doll.
Yeah.
I want, you know, the CD player next. You know, but, yeah, I don't think that would be as much of a surprise as maybe the group think around Jaguars draft, and I'm part of it, the media's part of it, Jaguars Twitter, whatever, has sort of marginalized Joey Bosa. And you're right. I don't get the impression talking to anybody the Jaguars, they've marginalized the guy, or certainly nobody is hearing that they marginalized the guy. It's just after a while you get sort of draft weary and public thought becomes what we all think is the thought. And that's not necessarily the thought.
No, and you spend 3 months talking about it. I mean, it's a conversation piece basically once the regular season ends. It
right.
becomes, when you're picking top five especially, it becomes a conversation about, all right, what will be available to them when we get to the draft? What will they do based on right. what we've seen this team do in the past? What do we think they're going to do? And right. you spend 3 months talking about it, and then every year, like, it's all misinformation the whole time, but every year once you get to the week of the draft, and the general managers that week before all sit down and talk to everybody about mm-hmm. what's going on inside these buildings a little bit. And it feels like all the information spins one more time. This
yeah.
giant spin starts one more time the week before the draft. So whatever you
maybe
thought
that's
you knew.
In the wrong way. You
right,
never know.
Whatever yeah, you thought you knew for 3 months, all of a sudden this new wrench right. gets thrown at it, and you're like, well, have I been thinking about it wrong? What's
right.
going on here?
But the other side of it is, and this is a very obvious statement, but you almost forget it sometimes. Like, I did a handicapping the draft thing. And again, it's based on the buzz. I've got Jalen Ramsey as maybe the fourth guy,
mm-hmm.
the longest odds. But that's because I think he's going before the Jaguars. Do I think that he's that far down on their board compared to other guys? I don't think so. But I don't, you know, for all I know, Caldwell 3 days ago took the Jalen Ramsey card, wadded it up, put it in a wastebasket, and he's now on the board. I have no, I mean, and maybe with Miles Jack, we may be talking about a guy that they're sitting here laughing and saying, there's no way we're taking that guy.
Right.
And that's just how it is. And I don't think they're taking the kicker from FSU, but beyond that, you know, who knows? I don't think they're taking Elliott, obviously, but
sure.
out of this bunch, out of this five, and I think I would be surprised if it's anybody outside the big five we're all talking about, but I've been surprised before.
Yeah, I mean, that's the draft, right? Somebody's going to do something
right.
where you're going, what? And it's not like the
and
Jaguars.
It's so dependent on what others. Everybody in their market tries to analyze their team, and rightfully so, because it's who we talk to. We look at this team.
Yeah.
We think we know the needs. We think we sort of can read Dave Caldwell's hand and based on what maybe Gus said and this. But then there's 32 other people. The Jaguars are waiting on figuring out what Tom Telesco and the San Diego Chargers are doing.
Sure.
They're waiting to see what Jerry Jones is doing. I think it all turns on San Diego and not nearly as much Dallas for this team. I don't think Dallas's pick may not affect them as much if it's Elliott. Obviously, they're not concerned about that.
Sure.
But I think the combination of San Diego and Dallas up in front of them, that's why Ramsey, to me, is off my board, because I don't think he gets past those two.
Probably not. The way it feels right now, probably not, because he could be, you know, the top, one of the top one or two right. players on each of those teams' board. Like, it feels a lot like of people San assume Diego he could be them, here.
But it feels like if they don't, you know, in my mind, when I'm doing mocks, it's Elliott or Ramsey for Dallas.
Sure.
And if Ramsey's there, they take him. If he's not, they take Elliott.
I think Bosa's probably pretty strongly in play there just because they got no pass yeah. rush. But it is interesting. You know, we do the mock
draft.
And that's
what you wonder. Do they like Bosa? And, you know, everybody says Jerry Jones doesn't like Bosa. Well, again, we don't know what Jerry Jones is thinking either.
No.
So the one chance at Ramsey is San Diego really loves Buckner, who a lot of people think is the best player in this draft. So they may just love him, and he fits what they do. And then everybody's talking about Bosa not sliding as much as people think. That's sort of what you hear in draft circles, is everybody's put this guy on the slide. But yet when you talk to NFL people, there's not very many people who have him outside the top five. It's like he slid in public perception, but among teams, everybody's like, I think that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, so if he doesn't slide, then all of a sudden that Ramsey scenario is in play. So.
Sure.
And that's what makes this fun.
Yeah, and we do the mock draft yesterday. Right. But we do the mock draft yesterday, and we're talking to representatives from all over the country and that are covering these different teams, and especially the teams that are in that bottom half of the top 10 who are just like, Joey Bosa, if he slid to them, they sprint that car to the front. And it's funny compared to like the way that we feel in Jacksonville, where it's like,
because they're not tired of talking about Joey Bosa.
Right. They're like, man, this guy really could slide to us. That's the way they
look
at it.
Their media didn't replay the funny clips from the combine with the Bosa hair all the time. People got sick of it.
And the other thing is, when you talk to all these teams and you ask, team needs, what do you think that your team needs are? It's uncanny how common the team needs are across the league. First of all, you're going to hear a lot about offensive line, defensive line. That's what everybody wants, pass rush. Everybody wants pass rush, pass rush, pass rush, number one need. But it's also crazy how many teams that we talked to yesterday were like, free safety.
Yep.
And it is a massive need across the league, which is why it feels even less likely that a guy like Jalen Ramsey could fall to the Jags at five. It just feels like San Diego or Dallas, because of the need at that position and the kind of player that Ramsey is, that he's probably going to be gone.
But you're still balancing it, and you're still balancing a very strongly held, and I watched the ESPN mock draft thing, and very little of what Bill Polian said surprised me, because I worked with the man for 10 years. But he believes, and it's a strongly held belief around the league. They talked about Carolina believing it. Dave Caldwell believes this. You know, your pass rush makes or breaks your pass coverage. And that's the one factor with Ramsey. As good as he is, there are still people out there who believe that's great, but he plays off the ball. And
sure,
we believe that you cannot win. And I'm saying we, the Jaguars, I'm saying we as a group NFL believe that you must be able to get to the quarterback. So in that situation, a team that believes that, Joey Bosa over Jalen Ramsey is not ridiculous.
Sure. And I think the Jalen Ramsey question in Jacksonville, not only the big question of whether or not he's even going to be available to him, and it sounds like you're assuming he's probably not going to be available to this team, but with them signing Gibson, I think it threw a bit of a wrench into the Ramsey situation, just because it does feel like, based on the conversations I've had with scouts over the past couple months, that his premium position would be free safety, and that he'd be a good corner. Not a bad corner. He'd be a good corner, probably still the best cornerback in this draft, but could be a special safety in this league, and the Jags have filled that position in need.
Well, and it really felt like, first of all, what you just said, free safety being a need everywhere, it's a need because the game has evolved to where there's so few people on the planet capable of playing that position.
Right.
And you're probably not going to find ever a time where there's 32 guys walking around who can do that well. But then you come back to, okay, everybody needs it, and when Dave Caldwell was looking at this offseason, you had to get to a scenario where you weren't deficient at that position next season. They couldn't go into this draft worried about, is Jalen Ramsey going to fall?
Yeah, banking that he had to be there.
It's a plus. They don't have to worry about that because they like Deshaun Gibson a lot. But there's also no a law that says you can't go find a place for Jalen Ramsey to play in the secondary.
No.
If he's as good as he looked when I watched my television, watched much of the pro day, he's special now. I mean, he's got a lot to offer. Does, you know, if you're on a need-based fill my depth chart draft right now, he's probably not top. But if he's there, you have to consider him.
No, that's absolutely right. And I know after free agency, it started talking to some people down there in the building. And when asked about, well, does this mean Jalen Ramsey may not be so much a factor when it comes to the draft for them, they looked at me and said, if we drafted Jalen Ramsey, he'd be the best corner on our team. And I think that still means something.
Right.
It's not that Jalen Ramsey's off the board. I don't know that I like Ramsey as much as a corner as I did a safety.
I
still like him a lot as a corner. So it doesn't mean that he's necessarily not a player I'm considering at five.
And the thing is, what this team lacks, and they're not alone, most teams in the NFL lack this, is enough guys on either side of the ball that scare the other team. And Jalen Ramsey would fit into that category. I don't think in the first four games he's going to scare you. But at some point, he has potential to be that guy who's your long-term foundation, scare the opponent, you have to game plan for me guy.
No doubt about it. Let's get out to the phone lines for the first time today. Joining us here on Jaguars Today, Michael, dialing up the program at 641-1010. What's going on, Michael?
Morning, gentlemen. I'm a big Notre Dame fan. I watch Jalen Smith, all of his games. If the Jags are sitting there and he's still in the fifth or sixth round, I know we got two picks in the sixth, what would it take for them to consider drafting him? I know that they said that they're not going to draft scared, so that thought automatically came into my mind.
All right, Michael, appreciate the call. And I think it's pretty unlikely at this point with the draft capital the Jaguars have that they're going to use a pick on Jalen Smith at any point. It would surprise me. I have heard some news reports just coming out today that Jalen Smith probably not going to get out of the third round is the way that's being talked about. And it only takes one team to be willing to do that. And teams that have a lot more draft capital than the Jaguars do can afford to take that kind of chance on a player that could be really good if he is can get back.
Was the caller saying if he's there in the sixth round?
Fifth, sixth, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's because that has become, you know, I'm not going to say that's like collegiate free agency, but the sixth round when your roster is developed, you can take a chance on it. You're not assuming that sixth round pick is going to be a core guy for you. So that's fine. I don't think they take him in the third, and I do think that some team takes a chance on him.
And,
you know, I think we've talked about it, Tony. The reality with Miles Jack and with Jalen Smith is we won't know and may not ever know how exactly they feel about these knees, because they probably won't come out. If they don't take Miles Jack, I don't know that Dave Caldwell's going to come out and say, here are the 10 points about this knee that we didn't like. Here's what Dr. K, you know, he may say something about it, but I don't know if we get into any great detail. It all depends on how much you believe about their long-term future. If your doctor is telling you, I don't believe Jalen Smith is ever going to be the player he was, well, then he's off your board.
Mm-hmm.
If the doctor's telling you, I think it's going to be fine after a year, he should have no trouble playing in 2017. Well, then he's a second-round pick.
Sure.
I don't think he's a first-round pick because you do need some sort of impact from your first-round pick. But second-round pick, sure. But that's where I don't think there's as much gray area there as, well, we'll take Miles Jack. Mike and I argued about it the other day. Well, we'll take Miles Jack number 10 as opposed to number 5. If you don't trust that knee, then I don't think you take him in the first round. If you trust that knee, then he's wherever you like him.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. And is there some kind of gray area with that? Maybe. But, again, these guys have a lot more information than we do.
I don't think the gray area starts in the top 10. I think maybe the gray area starts at the end of the first round where you're not as worried about immediate impact.
And that may make sense. Yeah. And maybe there are teams at the end of the first round that could look at it and say, we're going to draft him because we can. Like, we can afford to take a chance on this type of guy. So it's kind of the same thing. I think then you're arguing some semantics when it comes to that.
It's still risky because if you don't really believe it, again, a lot of these teams draft at the end of the first round. And I heard the beat writer for the Kansas City Chiefs talk about they draft a couple of years out. Well, that's what you need to do at the end of the first round.
Sure.
You're not, you know, it's still dangerous to go after a guy that you're flipping a coin on. If you believe you're flipping a coin, then I don't think you take him.
Yeah, and I think, look, the conversation that we've been having about Miles Jack, the way that I still talk about him, I assume the knee's fine because right. I haven't had anybody tell me that the knee's not good
right.
in the Jaguars' eyes, so I continue the conversation as if it's fine. I think if it's not okay, if the knee for Miles Jack is not okay, obviously he's not going to be the pick at five right. for the Jags. Jalen Smith obviously not going at five to the Jags. And honestly, if those two guys, with the type of talent that they showed in college, aren't available for a team like Jacksonville that is desperate to get playmakers on defense because of injuries in the top right. five of this draft, that really sucks for Jacksonville.
Yeah, just it's a bad break.
Two guys that right. are that talented may never be what they should have been in the NFL because of injuries during their last year.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it in quite that way, but you're right. I mean, here's a team that could certainly, Jalen Smith would be a spectacular fit because he's a little more of a strong side guy than Miles Jack. But, yeah, I mean, that's, them's the breaks.
Yeah, it happens. That's, people get hurt yeah. playing football, believe it or not. It happens. People
speaking of Jalen Smith, Adam Schefter tweeted out this morning that an NFL head coach predicts that Jalen Smith will be gone by the end of the first round.
First round.
First round. That's Adam Schefter, yeah.
Schefter tweeting that a coach told him that it'd be the end of the first round. Yeah,
the exact wording. Jalen one Smith. NFL head coach even predicted this morning that he can go by the end of the first round, maybe round two.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
For Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith, end of the first round, maybe beginning of round
well,
two.
Well, you know, when you watched that mock last night, and I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to the end of the first round, just because there's so little you can really predict about what's going to go on there. And there's so much emphasis on the fifth pick. But if you're a team that is considering taking something for the future and you don't think that there's a guy there who's going to help you immediately, again, you better really, really believe that doctor knows what he's talking about with that 2017 comeback date. And
sure.
I assume that's when it's going to, you know, nobody seems to think he's playing in 2016.
No.
But if you believe he's going to be who he's supposed to be in 2017, then, yeah, no problem not getting impact from late first round in the first year.
One of the conversation pieces that keeps coming up when it comes to the Jaguars in the draft is these character concerns, not so much the injury problems we've been talking about with Jack and Jalen Smith here in the last couple minutes, but specifically a guy like Noah Spence. We'll talk to John Osher about just how likely it is that the Jaguars would take a chance on that type of guy and when they might be willing to pull the trigger on a guy like that, that high profile a player in the NFL draft as we continue along on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. For all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, and so much more. Serving Jacksonville since 1978. Just go to MetroRooter.com. The right people, the right equipment. 904-695-1911. I got a...
It's a little rush there for you. It takes me back to 10th grade year, listening nice. To Rock 105.
No doubt. I got a McDonald's Monopoly update before we move on. We were talking about this at the top of the show, and Jeff Prosser was kind enough to slide across a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit to me.
Well, he's a kind guy.
Yeah, as he was
That's
walking out the door.
Jeff.
The people don't know that about Jeff,
right.
that he's a kind guy
he
because
kind.
He's such an angry guy on the air, which is okay. I work with one of those every day in Mike Dempsey. But he handed me a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, and I had the peel and play on here. I haven't done much of the Monopoly game this year.
No.
The commercial tells me 1-4 wins, and this is my second peel and play of the year, and they give you two things to peel.
Okay.
So I didn't win anything the last time. So
0-2.
I'm 0-2, okay. So I had to win on one of these for their statistics to
right.
be correct when it comes to me, which
well,
is all I care
about
if I'm playing. I won a free quarter pounder with cheese.
What?
Yes!
All right.
I don't know if I'll ever turn it in, but I want a free quarter pounder with cheese.
About 12:15 today, you'll be turning it in. Seems you can get there.
Is that part of the McPick 2?
Haven't done the research on that.
What's on the McPick 2?
The McPick 2, you can get like a Big Mac or a quarter pounder or a 10-piece.
Hey,
two
quarter
of
pounder.
Those each for $5.
There you go. See, then it is on
there. This
is
a free plug
McPick
for McDonald's, apparently.
Then it is on there.
Is that off the Heart Healthy menu? McPick 2 or those?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
I don't think Big Mac, no. quarter pounder with cheese, or the nuggets would qualify as heart healthy.
Well, I didn't know if they intertwined the menus or not.
No, so, probably right. not. With the draft coming up tomorrow night, we talked about the injury concerns with Miles Jack, the linebacker position, specifically with Jalen Smith. a moment ago, and one of the other big names that has been part of the conversation basically since the Senior Bowl here in Jacksonville has been Noah Spence.
Sure.
And exactly how the Jaguars have handled basically the scouting process with Noah Spence, with Gus Bradley spending a lot of time with him at the Senior Bowl so they could get to know him, sure, get a feel for whether or not, for a guy with those kind of off-field questions, if they feel like he works from a character standpoint here in Jacksonville. Well, we're upon the eve of the draft. I still got a lot of people that want to see the Jaguars trade from like 5 to 15, somewhere in that range, so that they could target a guy like Noah Spence. How do you think the Jaguars feel, not only about Spence specifically and where they would or wouldn't be willing to move to go get him, whether it be into the middle of the first round or back into the back end of the first round to go get him? And how do you feel like they deal with character concerns in general when it comes to the NFL
draft? Well, I'd be surprised if they trade back and target that. By that, I mean a player with significant off-field concerns in the middle of the first round. Simply because I don't know that Spence, I don't know that that's the only reason that he has slipped. There's also his combine results, the measurables in terms of speed, quickness were a little less than you would want from that position. I think there's more reasons than just the off-field stuff that he slid. So I'd be surprised if it's middle of the first round because you try to be as safe as possible there. So I don't know that they would give up a whole lot to go get him at the end of the first, but if it's there and it's a palpable thing to give up, then I think you'd consider it. I don't know specifically how they feel about Spence. I know there are guys off their board. And that's just with Spence, how much do you trust that the issues are behind him? And I don't know that there's a way to answer that without getting inside Dave Caldwell's head. And much like the Miles Jack situation, he's not going to go over specific situations off field like that out of interest to the player.
Sure.
In terms of how they, Buell Doom just told me I have significant off field concerns, so, which is true, but neither here nor there. So
Doom loves Noah Spence.
It sounds like it. Which I'm not sure is that much reason to draft a guy.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of how they feel about off-field, there are clearly guys who they won't draft because of character. Because they understand there are certain things, and especially at the top of the first, you can't get into a situation where your percentages of that player not working out go up to an unacceptable risk level.
It's already risky enough.
Yeah, so you need that play. It's all percentage games. You need a percentage to go up there. But they don't take, I don't think they take as many guys off the board as a lot of teams do. Dave Caldwell is not, he said it a million times, we're not looking for choir boys, et cetera, et cetera. He understands that there are going to be certain things when you look at the player's off-field resume that are there that may not be perfect. But as he always says, think about some of the things you did before you were 25 years old,
mm-hmm,
and you can kind of, it's not that you draft them and not worry, but you have to draft players with some level of off-field concerns because you're drafting 21-year-old kids.
Sure. No, it's the way it works. They're young guys, and they're young guys that in a lot of sense have been, if they're going to these big universities, to some degree pampered.
Yeah, I don't know how well they're gonna be stars. Have fared with the NFL security check. I don't know that I'd have been off the charts.
Right.
But there might have been some uncomfortable interviews.
Sure. And look, when it comes to Noah Spence, I think it's more likely that, say, that player fell to them in the second round, that they would take Noah Spence than they would take Robert Kimdichie. That's the sense I get of the situation, that
yeah,
there are more serious concerns about where Kimdichie is. Although I think, when you just look at the physical talent,
sure,
of those two players, Kimdichie's talent is off the charts.
Well, and I think he would be, if he had I hesitate to use the word clean because it references drugs. And I'm not saying that, but if his off field history was crystal clean,
mm-hmm,
I think we'd be talking about Kimdichie as a top five pick.
I do too.
if his off-field history was clean, I don't know that we'd be talking about Noah Spence as a top five pick.
No.
I think it would be, you know, mid-teens, 11, 12 in that range. That's just a gut feeling. I haven't specifically asked that question. There's no way to actually know, but that's the feel I get with it.
My feel is that the evaluation for Spence would still have him behind probably Leonard Floyd and Shaq Lawson at the very least,
yeah,
with what we're seeing here. So maybe he'd be kind of that.
And that may not be fair.
Yeah, third, fourth,
but because
fifth.
Of the combine, it just sort of, you know, when you combine the off-field with not being dazzling at the combine, then all of a sudden you had two reasons for people to drop him. And that's kind of the nature of the draft. The teams are looking for a reason to drop you because they're trying to minimize risk at the top.
No doubt about it. And look, for a draft where it feels like the edge rush class is just kind of meh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just the way it feels. Then a guy like Noah Spence becomes that much more right. a target because he is the guy that went to Ohio State. And there was at least sure. a couple-week period where the public conversation was, this guy's better than right. Joey Bosa.
Well,
and it's hard to let that kind of like, that conversation doesn't go away. It
no.
changes.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily go away. It's out there, which means there's going to be somebody that believes in that aspect of Noah Spence, at least from a public perspective,
sure.
the whole time. And again, it's about the information that these teams have that we just don't have. And at some point, you have to trust whatever the evaluation is inside those buildings because of the amount of information they get.
Right.
The good teams evaluate it really well. The bad teams continue to turn over their front offices because
right.
they don't find guys that evaluate it very well. I don't know if
good
Caldwell
teams get
is
a little lucky too.
Yeah, I don't know if Caldwell is good or bad at it yet. I really don't know.
Right.
I feel like the last two drafts have been pretty good, but time will tell on those even going forward. And the first draft, it was a weak draft class, but it was bad. It was a bad draft class for Dave Caldwell the first time around. So it's the jury's still out
yeah.
on how good or bad
I will
these
say
guys
this,
are at
that.
This.
That 2014 class, a couple of things are very interesting about it. Don't forget he traded up for Allen Robinson and Brandon Linder.
Yeah.
Which were, you know, I'm using that a trade-up guy, but if you're going to trade up, there's two pretty good guys to get.
No doubt.
Also, a little credit for solving the quarter, or I believe that the quarterback issue solved.
It feels that way.
I think he's got to get better. I think there are things that he still has to improve on before he's elite. I mean, this offseason, there's been a tone of eliteness around him, and he's not there yet. But he's got a chance. He's got a better chance than not. He didn't give up anything to go do that. And there's been a lot of teams giving up a lot to go do that. So to get that fixed and still have draft picks around. Now, he had the number three pick. But not everybody was saying, go get Blake Bortles. So a little credit for that draft, which when you throw Telvin in there, when you throw what Aaron Colvin could be.
Sure.
Pretty good draft.
No, 14 was, I thought, yeah. good. And I think it could get even better in yeah. our eyes, depending on how they develop over the course of the next couple of years.
And but you're talking teams right now who are desperate and giving up their franchise to go get a quarterback.
Yeah, they're giving up two or three drafts.
And it was not the most popular pick when he first made the Bortles pick, but I think he sort of saw you got to get it when you can get it.
No
and
doubt.
If he got it and if it's real, then a lot of other things can be made a lot better because of that.
That's John Osher, Fat Tony here with you as well. Mike Dempsey up in Chicago for the NFL draft. We'll catch up with him tomorrow on the day of the draft. That's right. It's tomorrow night. So we're just a day away from the draft finally kicking off. We'll get to this date in football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL next, as we continue along on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by James J. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or if you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 904-620-9225. Dr. McCall is a certified Invisalign provider and offers a 10% discount for all first-time customers' initial visits. This date in football history in 1961, on April 27, 1961, the National Football League officially recognized the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
That's so nice of them.
That's kind of a cool date. There's not a whole lot that happens this time of year outside of draft stuff. But that's kind of a cool date in this history. As far as birthdays today, Herm Edwards turning 62 years old. You play to win the games. San Diego wide receiver Keenan Allen, just 24 years old. And Ricky Williams. No, not that Ricky Williams. The 56-year-old ninth-round pick of the New England Patriots, who, according to Pro Football Reference, appeared in all of three career NFL games.
But happy birthday, Dan.
Is the namesake doppelganger, at least, of the much more famous Ricky Williams of the Miami Dolphins and New Orleans Saints. So that is this date in football history, brought to you by James J. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, much to the dismay of Jaguars fans last week, free agent cornerback Josh Norman signed with the Redskins late last week. He joined Mike and Mike this morning and said the Redskins put on the full court press.
Once they got me on that plane, man, I was held hostage. I was actually going to take another flight, but they got me through the doors and they didn't let me go. And I was just like, shoot, anybody come down to Washington, certainly you ain't leaving. Because they pulled out all the bells and whistles, and I couldn't be more happy and proud to be in an organization that truly cares and loves the player, not just what he brings, but the player himself and being himself.
And, of course, everyone is looking forward to the Josh Norman Odell Beckham battles twice a year.
I really don't even too much care about that matchup. I care about bettering myself as a group, as a team, man, as a group of men that can do something special here. I mean, yeah, we're going to have a little, you know, game where we play each other twice a year, playing Dez and all them other guys. I mean, they got some good receivers in this, you know, division. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be nobody else different. And whatever that is, it will come Sunday and see. I don't know. I don't hold a future.
Former number one overall pick in the 2007 draft, quarterback Jamarcus Russell has been out of the league since 2010. SportsIllustrated.com posted a 10-minute feature video on what's going on with Jamarcus Russell right now. Living at home still, and his attempted return to the league. And he said he wrote letters to all 32 teams in the NFL asking for a tryout this month and that he'd be willing to play for free.
Like I said, God, he make things happen for a reason. Who's to say? You might see me back. You know, you never know, man. You never know. Whatever it is, I can be the water boy and work my way into a scouting team. It doesn't matter. I'll go play for free. I think there's plenty of room for him. I think so.
The talk around the Philadelphia Eagles is the Eagles trading up to draft Carson Wentz with the second overall pick, which makes the future of Sam Bradford very murky. Bradford has requested a trade from the Eagles, and his agent Tom Condon explained the move on Sirius XM NFL Radio last night.
Sam's only been in the league for 6 years, and he wants to go someplace and be there and know that he's gonna stay as long as he plays well. And his situation now in Philadelphia is different. And so, you know, it's one of those things where I completely understand from Howie's standpoint and from the Philadelphia Eagles. They signed Sam. They have no idea they're going to be able to come up and get the second pick in the draft and have that be a quarterback. But nevertheless, so, you know, none of this is personal. It's just business.
Two final stories here, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Eastern Kentucky pass rusher Noah Spence this week has sent each of the 32 NFL teams the past 20 drug tests he has taken since last May. Spence had Eastern Kentucky conduct 5 drug tests from May through December, and then independent drug testing company conduct 15 more from January 2016 until this week. And finally, Saints quarterback Drew Brees made an appearance on the Dan Patrick Show, which, by the way, is unavailable on any other station here in town, so don't even try and change your dial. Drew Brees expressed some criticism for Commissioner Roger Goodell.
You're never going to have a trusted system when nothing is transparent. Judge, jury, and executioner handed down by the commissioner based upon the facts of things that have happened previously with Bounty Gate and other instances where we just know that that's not the truth, that's not the case, and we need a more fair process.
That was Drew Brees, the Saints quarterback, on the Dan Patrick Show, and that is all I have for the Honda Drive around the NFL.
Newsflash! NFL players in general don't like Roger Goodell.
Really?
New Orleans Saints players hate Roger Goodell. And I can understand anyone that was around for Bounty Gate and what they went through losing their coach for a year and the draft picks that they lost and all the different things that went on. I can understand why they keep vouching for a more transparent system. But obviously this is coming up again because of the Tom Brady news, and John, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since this story broke. I've been saying for a couple days, if you can't see the humor in the idea that the U.S. Supreme Court is the next destination to decide the suspension of a quarterback for deflating footballs,
yeah.
If that's not funny to you, then you need to get checked, man. That is hilarious that we have gotten to this point with this story.
Yeah, when they were talking about this on ESPN the other night, yeah, they always show the, as they're talking about, they'll show the video loops. And one of the things in this loop was the referee picking up the ball and sort of underhand tossing it to the sideline,
yeah,
like he did. And I just thought to myself, I wonder, that referee had no idea what that moment was starting.
No.
And just, you know, and just where it would go and what it would lead to. And Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe wrote a really good column after this and basically said the Patriots were the guy who was going 68 and a 65. Most of us would say, I'm sorry, officer. And the Patriots got kind of rude with the cop. He put it another way, you know, but, and that's sort of how it feels. That if this had been handled differently at the get-go, maybe it's different. But that's one man's opinion on sort of where it went and how it got to here.
Sure.
And that sort of feels like that.
Yeah. I don't know how big a deal. Again, we've talked about this I don't know how many times. I don't know how big a deal it is to have a flat football as opposed to an overinflated football. I have no idea really what difference that may make,
yeah,
for an NFL quarterback. No idea. I know there's a rule.
Right.
I know that somebody had to be aware of what the rule was.
Sure.
It feels like at some point Tom Brady told somebody in that staff that he, right, likes his footballs this way, and that they continued every time they were at home to do what they had to do to make sure that Tom Brady got his footballs prepared, right, the way that he wanted them.
I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
And the balls, that's jokes just, will continue.
That's glorious.
It's never going away. And look, it happened. And the Patriots got caught doing it,
right,
and instead of just saying, oh, well, we all know this isn't a big deal,
right,
right? Instead of handling it that way and saying, look, we're sorry, we know that it's not going to happen again, and taking whatever slap on the wrist punishment the NFL would have given them in that circumstance,
yeah,
they mouth off. And instead, Goodell, right, who has this broad reign to do what he wants, which is what they collectively bargained he could do,
and that's
said, I'm sick of
there,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it. That's really the key. You would guess at the next collective bargaining agreement or at some point that those powers would be lessened, but right now they're not lessened.
No.
So that right now is what they are.
And that's what the court said.
And, right.
Is
and,
that this is, you gave Goodell the right to do this. That's
right.
All he's doing is exercising his right,
right
as commissioner.
It's the way it's been for years. Doesn't mean it's still right, but it's still the way it is.
Yeah. It's not always about what's right. It's about what right they have,
right,
to do what they've done. And that's all the court system said is, yeah, he's perfectly right to do what he's done. If you want to debate how right or wrong it is, then be stronger next time you go,
right,
up for a CBA agreement.
Leave Tom Brady alone.
Oh, Trump. Trump that's wants correct. Brady left alone and a wall built, and it'll be a fantastic wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it. So that'll do it for the Honda driver on the NFL. I will say one last note on it. I do believe it's more likely that Jamarcus Russell plays football in 2016 than Johnny Manziel. I don't think either one of them are going to play football,
right, yeah,
in 2016, but I think it's more likely at this point that Jamarcus Russell would.
I guess. I'd put both odds pretty close to zero.
Pretty low.
So.
Pretty low. No doubt about it. We'll get back to some Jaguars draft talk. Our last opportunity again with Johnny O. He's got to get out of here around 11:30, so we're going to talk about what he expects to happen at 5. The odds of this team moving around a little bit in the first round, what exactly are they as we continue to get ready for the first round of the NFL draft tomorrow night live from Chicago? It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today.
Tom Brady. Like to crush him one or two times.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, rolling along here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars Today. Fat Tony, Johnny O here with you for a couple more minutes at least. Johnny O taking off here in about 15 minutes to head back down and do some real work.
Jags.com Live this afternoon.
Yeah.
Set up the draft.
Hey,
guess what we're talking about, Tony? Talking about the NFL draft.
A little draft talk.
Yeah.
How's that for a change? You can check that out on Jaguars.com. What time are y'all doing that today?
12:30. And we'll have Brian Sexton is in Chicago. So we'll be talking to him live. He calls him. He's in Chicago, not like Dempsey.
Y'all sneaking a player? Maybe the GM into the studio?
I don't know.
You're down here, so you're out of the loop.
Well, I'm not being evasive. I don't care enough to know. So that's kind of what it is.
Fantastic. Some more Jaguars draft talk here, if you'll allow me.
Hey.
I know that you got enough of it coming up at 12:30 today on Jaguars.com Live, but if you'll allow me, let's talk a little bit
more
Jags draft here. As it's our last opportunity to talk to you today, John, before the draft gets started. So just based on 3 months leading up to this thing, what is your best guess at what actually happens for the Jags at 5?
You know, and I'm not going to say that I'm not going to feel differently in 2 hours. I'm saying Jack because for much the same reason as you are, I don't have the capability of bringing the knee into the equation. To me, it's either out or in on the knee. So if I'm going to make a pick, then I'm going to assume it's in. I'm going to assume that they believe he's fine. If they believe he's fine, then I think the fit, I think the ways they can use him, the otherworldly talent level, the fact that he might be that Kuechly type impact player. They need speed on defense. All the things we've heard.
Sure,
that's just the one that sort of makes sense. And but I can't tell you that at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I'm not going to sit there and go, you know, all people have Joey Bosa as the top player in this pick, and if he's, you know, so I would put that at 35%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there is a good chance of Buckner, much better chance than people think or want to think.
Buckner v. Bosa, where do you think they go?
My gut tells me a slight edge to Buckner.
I'm kind of feeling that way,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and again, you don't have to come off the edge to affect the quarterback. And Buckner can affect the quarterback and not necessarily be your pure speed edge rusher. So if they take him, that's why. And, you know, I don't want to say J.J. Watt because that's elite special level. But when Watt was drafted, a lot of people started talking about this guy might be the best player in the draft. And he went 10th.
Yeah.
You hear those things about Buckner, and because he's, you know, if Buckner had highlights like Von Miller highlights, edge rusher speed, exciting guy, then everybody'd be saying number one overall.
Sure.
But he might be, you know, he's that level of talent from what you hear, so you never, you know. And now everybody's going to say, well, he's talking about Buckner for 2 minutes. That's going to be the pick. That's just an interesting topic. Buckner, Bosa, very similar in terms of the feel that I have for the percentages.
Sure, and I think part of it is kind of the late-blooming aspect of the Buckner story,
sure,
a little bit for us here in Jacksonville, where it's...
Well, he's got a commercial now.
Well, so. He's got a commercial now where he's chopping down trees.
That sways you a little bit.
But it's that it felt like the conversation in Jacksonville has been Bosa, Ramsey, Jack for so long.
Sure, he's the new guy. It's
right.
Fun to talk about the new
in
guy.
The last 2 weeks, it felt like, well, maybe they like Buckner
right
more than they like Bosa. And I think you could take a lot of the comments that we heard from Dave Caldwell and make it fit that kind of storyline,
yeah, exactly,
where it's like, it does feel like maybe they like Buckner a lot more than they like Bosa at this point.
Yeah, and the only reason that I'm not mentioning Ramsey in this group is what we talked about, you know, at the top of the time that I've been here. I just cannot see, when I'm trying to do mocks this week, I just keep coming up with Ramsey at 3 or 4.
What if it does go Tunsil Elliott for whatever reason, which is certainly
right
a scenario that could be out there,
but
Tunsil
Elliott
3, 4, and the Jags are left with all these options basically in front of them. Do you think Ramsey is the pick?
I would think that if you put Ramsey and Jack in a little glass together and shake them up, you probably pull Ramsey out.
So you think it'd be one of those two guys in that scenario?
If that's
assuming
what you're doing,
assuming the knee's fine, yeah,
then I think Ramsey, because you don't have a concern about health, would be what I would think. But Again, there's every possibility that if Dave Caldwell's listening to this, he's laughing.
Sure.
Because I'm probably not close.
We've probably been way off for 3 months. And
right.
It was fun. You know, we had him in the studio before he went and
sure.
did the luncheon last Friday. And, you know, you ask him about reading what other people are writing,
right.
you know, in the mock drafts and everything. And he gets that little smirk on his
yeah.
face, right? It's
well,
it's the amount of information that they have that we just don't have. And honestly, we'll probably never have.
But here's
about
the
these
nice
players.
Thing about Dave. And I like Dave. I enjoy working with him. It's absolutely phenomenally the most important thing in the world to him. No question about that. But he was also a fan. And when he was coming up, he read draft coverage. He knows what it is we do.
Sure.
He understands we have to do it. You know, or for the team website, I'm wrong on pre-draft more than I am right. Well, he gets it. I don't know. It's not like the end of the world if I put something out there that is not exactly what they're thinking, because I'm not supposed to know. But he gets that that's what it is. And if somebody misses on a mock draft, it's not the end of the world.
Sure.
You know? So, I mean, he understands what we do. I think he kind of thinks it's funny how little we know sometimes.
Yeah.
But he also knows that our end of it is entertainment.
Yeah.
So
that's what we're here to do, is entertain a little bit, hopefully inform a little bit to whatever information we can dispense, we try to dispense. And then the conversation becomes the conversation you're going to have with your friends at the bar tonight or whatever,
right.
of trying to take these pieces of information and what makes the most sense
right.
with the limited information we have, knowing that in the end, especially when it comes to the NFL draft, that we probably don't
right.
know.
So I think I handicapped
just the acknowledgement
this morning,
that we probably don't.
And I went Jack, Buckner, Bosa, Ramsey, Tunsil, with Ramsey being so low because I don't think he'll fall to him.
Okay.
And I just barely with a barely a nod of Buckner over Bosa.
Want to get out to the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford here in just a moment, but a couple more questions. What do you think the odds are that the Jags trade back out of that number 5 spot, and what kind of range do you think they might be looking to get to if they did?
Well, I think they, again, you say this every year, so you sound ridiculous when you say it again. I think they'd really like to trade back this year. They would have liked to with a Jokel draft, and
sure.
Nobody wanted to trade up. They didn't want to trade out of Bortles, and they didn't want to trade out of Dante. This year, I think it's much more of a possibility than it has been in the past. That was one of my odds. I think that was probably second on my list. I think that really could happen.
Do you think Tunsil's the piece that most likely needs to be there to
feels
to,
like it
to get that?
But again, I don't know that the X factor there is that there are people who don't think there's a huge difference between Stanley and Tunsil.
Right.
So are you going to get people who are desperately trying to trade? This is not quarterback equity we're talking. This is not 5 picks for this kind of a thing. So when you're Dave at that point, I think he'll get offers. Does he get enough of an offer
sure.
to make it worth it?
Like how much would San Francisco be willing to give up
right.
to go from 7 to 5 to make sure they get ahead of Baltimore if they like Tunsil
right.
that
and
much more than Stanley?
To Dave,
right.
if that means you don't trade down for the sake of trading down. I always tell this story. When the Colts drafted Dwight Freeney and I was there, everybody said, well, why didn't you take Dwight Freeney? Because he was rated about you know, what, 20, 23 in the draft. Why didn't you trade down? 11's too high. Well, of course, 11 wasn't too high. But the bottom line is they were running on the treadmill together that morning. On not different treadmills. It's awkward to try to run on one. But, and Bill said, who do you like? Well, Freeney. That's who I like too. All right, let's take him.
Nice.
Not let's try to take him. Yeah, and more conversations before that, but that was
sure.
you know what the story they tell. Not let's try to trade back to 18 because they didn't like a guy that much at 18, and they could have gotten a pick, but they liked this guy. So if Dave loves DeForest Buckner at 5, and he's going to have an awful feeling in the pit of his stomach walking down to the press conference if he doesn't get him at 7, then you stay and take Buckner, or you stay and take whoever. But
sure.
don't trade out of a guy you really like. And if you trade back, you better be sure you've got the right number of players who are still going to be there.
Sure.
So that's pretty obvious, but that's how they have to do things.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sitting at five and you have a list of seven players that you like, then, you know, you can go down to 11 or 12, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're willing to go to 15.
Right.
Unless someone wants to sweeten the pot
right.
to get down to 15.
It's cool to say trade back and take Leonard Floyd.
You don't know what teams are going to do between you and that pick either.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Other teams might like him too, but you better love the guy, because even if you trade back, you still want to have a guy you love. If you once had a top 10 pick, you still want to come out of a draft with a guy you love.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Let's get out to the 1010XL text line, driven by Duval Ford, really quick. And we've been talking a lot about Joey Bosa, and it feels like some of the shine is off of that player a little bit for some of the fans. But from one texter we got, I want Bosa. He's a stud at that level. I'm sure he's talking about college. With NFL coaching, he'll be a stud at this level as well. Another one we got here, a couple questions if they can. Number one, is Miles Jack a lot better than Darren Lee? They seem comparable to me, but Lee has less injury risk. And the second question was, could Leonard Floyd play auto? I think Miles Jack feels like a bigger, more physical player than Darren Lee, which is why he's being talked about as a better prospect than Darren Lee at this point. There are comparisons for what they can do.
Sure.
Miles Jack, the conversation about Miles
Same
Jack.
Same kind of player, Miles Jack is better.
Right. Miles Jack is a guy who they're comparing to Luke Kuechly as far as his coverage skills. I haven't heard that comparison for Darren Lee. I've heard he's okay, you know, in coverage. He's fine in coverage, maybe even good in coverage, but he's not that extraordinary coverage linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Jack is a guy, if he's as good as what scouts think, Miles Jack is a guy that you're going to talk about on NFL primetime every week. And a highlight guy, difference maker, who's the reason you're in the playoffs. You don't really hear that about any of the linebackers in this draft right now.
No, no.
So, and again, you know, none of this, that doesn't mean it's going to happen in 3 years. But that's the sort of potential, and you don't usually hear that about a player in his position.
And Leonard Floyd playing auto here in Jacksonville, I'm guessing that would be the way he got on the field here in Jacksonville if he got picked.
Yeah, I would think that's his spot.
Yeah. So, yes, he would play the auto. At least that would be the guess. I'd assume if they made him the pick tomorrow
I think that's
night,
why they would pick him.
That he's there to fill that kind of spot and be a pass rusher for him from that spot, too. They expect more pass rush out of the auto position than they've gotten to this point. It's why they brought in Scooter. They thought he would add a little bit of that last year, and they just didn't get that out of him, and it's something they've talked about throughout this offseason.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
think they believe they can get more out of him. I think the injuries at the inopportune times last year kept them from emphasizing that as much as they probably wish they had.
Yeah. The fan feedback spotlight, we'll get to some of your answers to that here in just a moment. We're asking you, what name could the Jaguars call at number five tomorrow night that is a possible actual pick for the Jags at five that would upset you the most as a fan out there of the Jacksonville Jaguars? You can respond on Twitter at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. Johnny O on his way out the door. I know you got Jaguars.com
live. Jaguars.com live with JP Shatter.
This afternoon, what are y'all doing tomorrow for the draft?
I might roll in about 7:45 or so. See what's happening, get a little dinner.
Right.
No, I mean, we'll be on live after the pick, and then wrapping up the pick, we'll be doing our video elements. And then, basically from my point of view, just writing as fast as you can, as much as you can all night. And that's sort of what the draft is. I'll do some sort of preview tomorrow morning. I'll do 10 things they need to get out of this draft.
Hey.
And mainly that they need to hit up top.
No doubt.
And I'll do about 750 words saying that.
All right.
How about that?
That's what his editor says he needs 750 words. So he'll get the 750 words.
Right.
All right, Johnny. We'll see you at the stadium tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Johnny O on his way out the door. We'll welcome in Dr. Stephen Lucy here in just a moment and find out just what the heck is a chondral defect, because I still don't know. I've read about it for the last couple of days. I still don't know what that word means. We'll find out next what's going on with Miles Jack's knee and what could it mean for him and his NFL future as we take a look at the medical side of things here in just a moment on a Metro Rooter Wednesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Metro Rooter brings it to you here on a Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, on his way at least up to Chicago for the NFL draft. He'll be there through Saturday, I do believe, out there at the Fan Experience. So if you are a Jags fan that is making the road trip to Chicago for the NFL draft, check it out. Dempsey will be up there. You can go say hey, and I'm sure you can convince him to go get a drink with you. I don't think it'd be that hard to convince Mike to go out and have some fun on one of those nights.
Offer Mike some Crown, and you'll meet him in person.
Crown will get him into a bar. There's no doubt about it on the road. No doubt at all. As we welcome in Dr. Stephen Lucy from JOI, former team physician for the Jacksonville Jaguars in studio. Haven't talked to you in a while, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing good. It almost feels like football season again with all this action going on.
Yeah, man. It's draft time, so it is kind of the oasis of the offseason for football fans. We'll get some on-field practice stuff, but they don't really do anything. There's no pads. They're just running around in shorts and shoulder pads every now and then, as we say. So you get that a little bit, but this is really it for the offseason. It's the culmination of the NFL offseason, the NFL draft. And I think for a lot of fans, we talk a lot about the medical evaluations of these players. We've obviously had long conversations about Miles Jack and that knee and what is a chondral defect. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. But for fans who maybe don't know or the picture's a little bit unclear, how does the medical evaluation process work when it comes to the NFL draft?
Well, the combine used to be a mystery, but now with the NFL Network, and you can sit there and watch the outdoor stuff of the combine on your own TV and watch the guys do the 40, watch them do the jumps, the agility drills. While all of that's going on, every NFL team sends a whole medical team, three or four orthopedists, a couple of medical guys, and they do 4 years of pretty – 4 days of very grueling evaluations, looking at every one of these players. If they have a hangnail, they get an MRI. They have to research the MRI. And at the conclusion of that, they form a huge notebook, as big as any you've ever had in college, of every one of these players, their reports, their labs, their MRI, and then they grade the players. And so the medical staff goes through this, and they go through, it's not a black and white pass or fail. Most every team, and they're all a little different, have a variant of a scale between 1 and 5. 1 being the punter who's probably never been hurt, and 5 being somebody that you're not sure is going to make it through a couple of games my celestial season, and he's failed. They're not a lot of 1s. They're not a lot of 5s.
Right.
But in between, these their gradings of relative risk of the injury they currently have causing problems. You can never predict a Dante Fowler deal that he came in healthy first day. You know, that was nothing you can predict. But you want to try not to bring in somebody who is not going to be able to give you quite a few years of good play.
Yeah, and that's where the questions with Miles Jack come into play. And the news came out earlier this week. There's been a lot of speculation about what is or isn't going on with Jack and that knee. What exactly is the injury? How concerning is it for his long-term career in the NFL? Because it seems pretty apparent in the short term he's at least going to be able to play, is the way that it sounds. But the news came out earlier this week, Albert Breer saying that he's heard from some sources that it's a chondral defect in that surgically repaired right knee. What exactly does that mean for Jack?
Well, from what I understand in reading the same stuff that you have read, I haven't examined him. I've not looked at his MRIs. But any of these players who have had offseason, being an ACL, be it whatever, Achilles repair, you'd rather them have played a season, and then you can grade them better. When there's such an unknown, even the ACLs, when they come back, yes, usually ACLs do well, but how many of these high-powered athletes have you ever heard the report, well, he had an ACL tear, but his cartilage was all tore up, but we're not sure if he's going to be any good next year. They never say that. The cartilage part of any of these injuries never make it to the media. And I'm surprised, actually, that this as much information has gotten out on this as it has. I understand he's probably had a meniscus repair. You can either remove part of the meniscus or repair it. Repair it's a good thing. It just takes longer. It takes 6 months. He's coming up on 6 or 7 months now, which is probably why he hadn't worked out. His doctors wouldn't let him. Now, the cartilage damage part is the part that you usually don't hear about, but that's a more serious problem. I mean, that can lead to swelling, can lead to a shortening of careers, that type of thing. And it's one of those things that it's, again, it's not cut white or black. You assess the risk. The doctors consult with one another. The general managers probably consult with one another, and then they make their best guess as to whether this is somebody you think you're going to get two or three good years out of, or whether this is somebody that you're really worried about.
Sure. And that's obviously the questions we've been asking about Miles Jack for a while now, is how serious this injury is. We've heard the term microfracture surgery at some point with Miles Jack potentially having to be done to get him back onto a field and completely healthy. It feels like that doesn't mean as much as it did years ago, but it's still a very serious surgery that it's difficult for players to return from, correct?
Well, it is. With the cartilage we're talking about, people talk about cartilage tears. Usually they're talking about the meniscus. That's very common. And usually people do well with that, either with repairs or with partial meniscectomies. The cartilage is the smooth surface. When you develop arthritis, it's because that surface is no longer smooth. These athletes can chip that cartilage, just like if somebody parks next to you and chips the paint on your car. That makes it rough. That roughness can cause pain and lead to swelling. If it's chipped all the way down to the bone, you try to figure out a way to fill it in. And one of the ways is this microfractures, where you're putting little holes in it and you're trying to stimulate healing. And yes, you know, we've made good advances. There have been a lot of athletes who have been able to come back from that. But like Tommy John surgery, nobody talks about the ones that don't come back.
Sure.
You always hear about the ones that are doing well. There's a percentage of people who don't do as well after that type of surgery. And hopefully with him or any athlete, you'd prefer not to have to go to that level, because the recovery is pretty long. It's usually 7-8 months, a year. It's a long recovery to come back from any of this cartilage restoration surgery.
One last question for you, Doc, before we let you go. An even cloudier situation with Jalen Smith, the linebacker out of Notre Dame. A lot of people saying that he's not going to be able to play at all in 2016, but it's nerve regeneration and damage that they're talking about in his injured leg. How difficult is that to predict? How difficult is that to repair when you're talking about nerve damage in somebody's leg?
Well, sometimes if you really sprain your knee badly, particularly on the outside or lateral side of the knee, it stretches the nerve that goes down to your foot. And there's a percentage of those that come back, and unfortunately there's a large percentage that don't. And there's not any good way of stimulation. And certainly while there is some reconstructive surgery and nerve grafts and that type of thing, that's usually to just try to walk, certainly not to try to play football. So that's always a bad sign, but it's one of these things that you just have to be patient and wait 6 months or a year, and if it comes back, you'll be all good. And if it doesn't, you're usually all bad.
Dr. Stephen Lucy from JOI, former team physician for the Jags, joining us to talk a little bit about some of these medical concerns heading into the NFL draft. Thanks, Doc.
All right. Thank you. Good to be back.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure, maybe sometime in the offseason, but certainly once we get into the preseason again next year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. There he goes, Dr. Stephen Lucy. Let's take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. Today we ask you on the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback spotlight, what player could the Jaguars call at number 5? What name would come up at number 5 that would most upset you? And we're talking about guys that have actually been in the conversation here. I don't need anything out of left field. We joked around about Roberto Aguayo, but what name that we've talked about would most upset you? Some of the answers we got today from Frank: any offensive tackle he would be upset about. He'd be nervous about any player with a bum knee. So I guess that means Miles Jack would be out for him. From Eric: Bosa, I don't see what other C sacks came against weak teams. In some games, he had no tackles. From Bill: Laramie Tunsil, there are no safe picks, and elite left tackles don't necessarily equal wins. From Adam: Tunsil, I'd be upset if we drafted Zeke Elliott because it's not defense. Hashtag take the risk. Hashtag draft Jack. From Irish Jaguar: Tunsil, probably. We have more pressing needs. From Mike: Tunsil, because the Jaguars' defense is beyond awful. From Ocho Fisho: Vernon Hargraves. From Cristiano: Tunsil or Buckner. From Daniel: Hargraves would flip my lid. Good player, but not good enough for a top 5 pick. From Brian: Buckner would kill my season. VH3 a close second. Floyd would buzzkill, but not sure that's realistic.
Speaking of Leonard Floyd, Big Cat Country put up a poll early this morning.
Uh-huh.
It's got 600 votes, and the question was, should the Jaguars pick Leonard Floyd at number 5?
And?
96% say no.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it feels like it would be a reach Like, from the outside looking in, it feels like Leonard Floyd would be a big reach. How much of a reach it actually is, I don't know. I haven't evaluated all these players. From Stoff Prime, we got Tunsil as the guy that would upset him. Duval Doom, anyone on offense, even Tunsil, but only for a few minutes. Then I'll convince myself it's brilliant, which I'm sure is the way a lot of people approach the draft. From Andy, Tunsil, he'd be an upgrade, but would feel a waste because it would be to correct the 2013 mistake. From DT, we got Tunsil. He'd make the O-line better, but we need guys to help the defense get the offense on the field. From Kevin, that's easy. Bosa, I would boo heavily if he's picked at five. From Black Dog, only a punter or quarterback would upset me. I think you're pretty safe there. And from Jag Dog, got to be Bosa. I think Tunsil is probably the most common name we heard there. Among the ones that I feel like are a realistic possibility, it's probably Tunsil and Bosa would be the top two guys on that list. Got some Hargraves there, too. I'm just not sure the Jags, as John Osier said, I don't think they value corner enough that they're going to go get that type of guy at five, even if the board falls in a way that you feel like maybe that's the direction they could go. I just don't think they value that position enough to go pick that guy at five. Maybe, you know, if it's Ramsey, it makes sense to me. If it's reaching for the next guy, I just don't see it happening here in Jacksonville. Maybe not even if they trade it down. But we'll see if they can get something like that done. We'll welcome in the boys of XL Primetime coming up here in just a moment. Again, Mike Dempsey will rejoin me tomorrow from Chicago. We'll get the scene from the ground up there as the NFL draft will be just hours away by the time we talk to Mike again. Ryan O'Halloran will join me for Jaguars Today tomorrow as well. We'll welcome in the boys of XL Primetime next. For Tyler Devitt, for Dr. Stephen Lucy, for John Osier, for myself, Fat Tony, that'll put a wrap on a Metro Rooter Wednesday edition of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL.
You guys have a good day. Peace.